WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Daytona Beach, Florida, police say an elderly woman shot her 77-year-old terminally ill husband at his request inside of a hospital, then barricaded herself in a room. Daytona Police Chief Jakari Young calling the evacuation of nearby patients, quote, a logistical nightmare.
Pretty much all the patients on that floor are on ventilators. So they don't have room. They didn't have the room to evacuate that entire floor. So they evacuated the rooms where it was most important to get them out of the way.
3.5 hours later, the woman was taken into custody. While visiting Senegal, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying she expects Congress to eventually reach a bipartisan solution to raise the debt ceiling. She said demands by House Republicans for spending cuts in return for backing the increase are, quote, irresponsible. 5 Memphis police officers have been fired amid an ongoing probe into the death of Tyre Nichols, who died after he was arrested and hospitalized. This is ABC News. 5 inmates are back behind bars in Missouri after a jail escape. ABC's Kent Martin has more from St. Louis.
Authorities with the St. Francis County Sheriff's Department in rural Missouri say the last 2 of the inmates were captured north of Cincinnati. Their arrests followed a chase by Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers. 3 of the escapees were in jail for sex offenses. 1 of the escapees was recaptured in Missouri after patrons at a bar noticed he acted strangely and he only drank water. As to how the 5 managed to escape, authorities said they just got lucky. Kent Martin, ABC News, St. Louis.
A new TSA investigation. The agency says it's looking into a potential cybersecurity incident at Commute Air that resulted in a data breach of personal information, including the names of those on the no-fly list. Alec Baldwin preparing to fight back against involuntary manslaughter charges. Follows the shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Rust. And now reports that production on the movie is expected to resume with new safety measures. Dave Packer, ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. January is National Birth Defects Awareness Month. Birth defects are common, but they can be critical conditions and expensive to deal with. Danielle Smith reports.
Birth defects affect almost 12,000 infants a year in the U.S. and one in every 33 babies. Dr. Scott Azik with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia says since its Center for Fetal Diagnosis and Treatment has been in existence, it has received over 30,000 referrals from all 50 states and more than 70 countries.
Sophisticated fetal surgery team repairs birth defects such as spina bifida, where there's an opening in the back to expose the spine to neurotoxic amniotic fluid. We treat a variety of other birth defects in the womb. We place fetal shunts to treat life-threatening congenital conditions.
Research from the CDC indicates a birth defect is the cause of 1 in every 5 deaths during the first year of life. Azik says birth defects can be diagnosed during pregnancy and suggests people who are pregnant get regular prenatal care and discuss any concerns about family health history and genetic testing.
Pregnant mothers should have a sophisticated maternal fetal ultrasound at an 18 to 20 week gestation. She should have blood drawn because you can then do genetic analysis to look for, you know, trisomies and things of that sort.
A trisomy is an extra chromosome that might indicate an abnormality in a fetus. If families are in need of fetal treatment center services, ADSIC recommends they do their research and ask questions about experience, clinical volume, and publications that reveal the doctor's experience.
That's Danielle Smith reporting. You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
They say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed and a chance to double your tax refund. thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund, times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the MLK Monday Happy Hour. I'm happy to have a fine co-devil here with me in Madison. He is William Walter from our Wisconsin Revolution. William, thanks for sticking around, man.
It's always a party when I'm in studio. I tell you what, we get nice weather, or warm weather at least.
Warm, relatively warm. And you know, technically there's booze in the cabinet. If you wanted something, you could make yourself a cocktail. But wanted to talk about clearing the field. And we kind of ended last hour talking about the U.S. Senate race here in the great state of Wisconsin. The Democrats, the also-rans, all cleared the field. And there were three of them that quit the race within 2 weeks of the election. And they were all qualified on the ballot. They all had exerted some sort of financial resources. One guy ran out of money, out of Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson. He had been running the longest. He was probably the financial greatest long shot. Didn't marry money, wasn't from money, didn't have any money. So I know why Tom got out of the race. But Alex Lazary was $15 million into that race. He got out. Why? If you've already invested $15 million, if you're on the ballot, why wouldn't he go to the finish line? Okay, so the thought is, well, Alex didn't want to finish second or certainly didn't want to finish lower than second after expending $15 million. Better not to know, better to graciously step aside than to actually see it through to the finish line.
And you look like a good guy then too, right? I
do you?
To the party, perhaps, or to the average voter.
The donor class appreciates this sort of behavior because I'm not sure who they're trying to tip their caps to. But getting out. I mean, hell, man, if I was an Alex Lazary guy, if I'd have supported his ass, if I went to the convention, if I voted for him in the straw poll, if I couldn't wait to get my ass out there because the unions liked Alex Lazary. There were a lot of groups that supported Alex Lazary. He had lots of lined up endorsements because I suspect he's a guy who had probably given lots of money, greased lots of political wheels. And when it was his turn, you know what? They reciprocated. So he had a lot going for him for a relatively young man in the race. Why get out? Because you're a nice guy? Doesn't seem plausible. And the most implausible one, and I've never quite understood, after the Dobbs decision came down, you had one female. Jillian Bettino had cleared the lane. She was off running for state treasurer. So you had one female candidate in the U.S. Senate race on behalf of the Democrats. and she was very dynamic. And she was probably, on some level, the candidate that maybe had the best claim to fame to go serve in the U.S. Senate. She had worked in D.C. She had worked in appropriations. She had worked at the Pentagon. She had a resume, she claimed, that included saving a lot of money. So those are things, you know. She had a state treasurer's resume. She had one statewide office. And she had a lot of gusto, it, whatever it is that some people have and others lack for. She had a lot of it. And Dobbs came down on the Friday night of the Democratic Party convention.
That's what I wanted to touch on. I believe it was the Thursday night, actually. I might be mistaken, but this is a fun story of how you and I met, actually, Crudy, was... you are correct. It was the Friday nights, because I canceled my Friday night reservation at... it was in La Crosse, I believe.
La Crosse was the location. I believe Dobbs came down earlier in the morning.
On that Friday.
On that Friday, and that was sort of the pre-convention Friday. Technically, the Dems did it Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, you're correct.
But everyone was coming to town, and I was in town, and I was doing live broadcasts that day. I had Brad Paff, and I had a few others at Buzzard Billy's right there on Pearl Street, right outside the convention hall. I mean, you could have made it any easier. And she declined to show up that day, and maybe with the same thought you had. In response to Dobbs, she went and protested. She went and got video protesting and shared upon social media this protest, this guttural reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I would have preferred to give her the large media platform, an ever-growing platform that was Civic Media, that was our radio network. She opted otherwise. She did not choose to stand until the vote. And you know what? If I'm not Sarah Godlewski, but if I was, I'd regret that decision the rest of my life. I would, because we will never know what the electorate could have done in the face of the Dobbs decision, because she didn't stick around long enough to find out. And while Mandela, lots of great things to say about Mandela Barnes, that's not the question right now. The question is, why did the whole field clear the field? And after the 2020 election, and I can tell you, I lived through 2016. I was in Iowa. I was in New York. I was in Indiana. I was in Ohio. I was in California. I mean, I followed these primaries state by state by state. Michigan. We went everywhere. Certainly Wisconsin, where Bernie won big. Mm-hmm. And if you look where Donald Trump was successful in the blue wall states, Bernie also did very well. And Bernie's conversation was about the rigged economy, about the fact that the economy is stacked against the working staff. And it resonated because people know they hadn't gotten a raise in 30 years. People realized that what he was describing was their life. And it was easy for Donald Trump to pick up some of the populist messaging, didn't give a damn about the actual people, the outcomes, but he learned the vocabulary of the Bernie Sanders. And he stole some of that populist thunder. Well, anyways, there's a little animus. I saw some pretty pissed off Bernie supporters at the 2016 convention in Philadelphia. We were there. Ultimately, Hillary, the candidate, not successful.
Do you remember Nevada, too, when they stormed out?
I was not in Nevada, but I was in Nevada for the presidential primary. And I can tell you this. This year, 2020, 2 years ago, I was in Nevada for the presidential primary, and I had seen Joe Biden in Iowa. I had broadcast. We had exclusive broadcast rights on behalf of the Teamsters, six candidates, including Biden, Bernie, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and I forget, it could have been de Blasio for all I know, some other unimpressive Democrat. Biden didn't wow the room, but I think ultimately got the support of the Teamsters. Also saw our friend Joe Biden show up after losing or falling distantly in the Iowa caucuses. Then we jump into Nevada, right? Joe had no juice in Nevada. Tom Steyer, the billionaire, had more juice walking the picket line in Nevada than he did. I mean, I was watching people like Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren had more juice than Joe Biden. Joe Biden was a guy looking for a friend in Nevada. That was my impression. Fast forward to South Carolina. If James Clyburn had not come forward and endorsed and said, he knows us, if James Clyburn had not gotten the promise, and I think it was a promise that Joe made in response. I don't think it was a quid pro quo, but Joe Biden said effectively, you get a black Supreme Court justice as a tip of the cap if I win. And he came out on the debate stage in South Carolina and said, that's what you get. And it was the Clyburn endorsement. It followed very shortly thereafter, I think, by the full-throated behind-the-scenes endorsement of Barack Obama.
You have to talk about Obama's involvement too, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't blame Obama in some way, shape, or form by being frustrated. In 2012, Bernie Sanders wanted to primary the incumbent president. Maybe Bernie wasn't his favorite guy, let's just say. And Bernie had just maybe won Iowa, clearly won New Hampshire, and clearly won Nevada, and was starting to pick up some steam and some delegates.
When he won Nevada, I tell you what, Crudy, that's like the highest faith I've had in the American electoral system in my entire life. I was riding. I was just like on cloud nine at that point.
Well, I was in Nevada, and the nearest state where we had logic to be was in Minneapolis for Super Tuesday. And Wisconsin's primary was coming after that. And we were waiting, you know. I mean, I was in the radio business. I had Milwaukee and Madison networked at the time. Couldn't wait. I had just put up a brand new radio signal in the Milwaukee market in deference to the fact the DNC was coming to town. And that, you know how that turned out. But the more important part of the issue, and I'd like to hear from the audience as well. He's William Walter. I'm Crudy. You can call us and be a part of this show this hour, 844-967-2789. I can support and rationalize why it was acceptable for Barack Obama to clear the field. If you think that Donald Trump is so damaging to the nation and Joe Biden is the only guy that could possibly beat him, or at least the most likely candidate, well, Joe didn't have any coattails. Joe didn't have a real governing legislative majority. And, you know, I can tell you, my progressive friend said, hey, all things considered, been pretty happy about Joe. Tell you what, so have I.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but I believe that to be true as well. I think you could make the argument that he might, accomplishments that he has done as of right now, today, I think you could make the argument that he's the best president in the 21st century. Now, I'm not saying that I would make that argument, but I have heard some compelling cases as to why that would be the case. And you touched on it. So there's something with Obama I think we have to point out because, you know, I mentioned the being a Bernie delegate was my introduction officially to politics, but Obama's 08 and 12 and 2012 campaign was really what got me involved. And I think so many young people, you know, hope, change. We had this young, hip dude coming into office. He was going to change the game, but the game can't be changed. And so many young people put so much time and effort into getting Obama into office, and then they didn't see the kind of true transformational societal changes they
expected. But that's not what he was promising. He was just allowing you to project upon him your hope for hope and change.
Remember, what matters is how the voters understand it, right? And if they were expecting some kind of systemic shift and they didn't get it, I can understand why they'd be apathetic.
The Tea Party revolt against Obama in 2010 destroyed the state of Wisconsin, has been decimating, and we saw 1,000 state legislators, Democrats, lose their seats under Obama, and mostly because they wouldn't defend Obamacare. Come back. He's William Walter. I'm Crudy. Call us 844-96-PARTY.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's so glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with a low of 24. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 29 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Lows dip down to around 19 tomorrow night. Overcast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Monday, clouds on the increase. By Tuesday, highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the MLK Monday edition. We got some sound from the President Joe Biden earlier today, addressed the nation. Let's play it, if we could, E-Bone, for the fair audience. And also, William Walters, co-deviling with me, if you're just joining us. Where you been? William Walters, Walter, singular. You know, you're so cool. You seem like many, many people. But William Walter.
I can sit back in my chair and be like, you're right, Crute, I am.
You know, that's usually the Dom role. Don't crowd the cool lane. I leave that for Dom. But let's play Uncle Joe. He likes to wear the navigators every now and again. Joe wears his sunglasses at night. Play it for the people. Cut 10.
Silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. We cannot remain silent, even if all we're doing is pointing it out and putting pressure on it to change.
President Joe Biden on MLK, on MLK Day, cut 11, please.
Dr. King's life and legacy, in my view, show us the way forward. We just have to look back. We got to be prepared.
More from Biden, cut 12, please.
This is a time for choosing. Will we choose democracy over autocracy, or community over chaos, love or hate? These are the questions of our time.
More from President Joe Biden, lucky number 13.
It's wonderful to be with you on this special day.
That was kind of a short one, E-Bone. Probably could have skipped that one. How about let's jump ahead. Let's see if there's any more substantial sound bites. Let's say, what, like 15?
The path is clear. To go forward, we need to go together. So let's be guided by Dr. King's light.
One more. Cut 16, please.
Many of you have been working on these issues for a long time. Over the past 2 years, we've gotten an awful lot done together. We got a lot done together. So let's keep it going.
Now, here's something I didn't hear in this short round of sound bites from President Joe Biden speaking on MLK Day. But during the course of this speech, William, Biden called Republican lawmakers fiscally demented. You may be unaware, but we are about to teeter off a debt cliff here, like later this week, January 19th, I believe. Today is what, the 16th? Give us till Thursday, and the country, the nation could shut down. And that, of course, will be the intransigence of the new Republican House. But anyways, here's what Joe had to say. President Joe Biden lashed out at Republican lawmakers today as being fiscally, financially, demented. in an early volley at the opposition party now controlling the House of Representatives. He said some of the very first legislation proposed by the House Republicans would further enrich the wealthy while adding to the tax burden of the middle class. These guys are fiscally demented, Biden said. They don't quite get it. While Republicans like to portray themselves as fiscally conservative and deride Democrats as big spending party, Biden said, the reality was different. I reduced the deficit by $350 billion. And this year, the federal deficit is down $1 trillion plus dollars. Hear me. That's a fact. His remarks came in an address at the Washington Hotel at an annual gathering honoring the MLK Jr. on the holiday that celebrates the late civil rights leader. They also came 2 days after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she would have to take extraordinary measures to avert a government debt default. This freaking week, this week, Biden said Friday he would not negotiate with Republicans who threaten to use the debt problem for leverage to damage budget cuts, saying, demand budget cuts, saying it should not be a political football, but past standoffs over the debt ceiling have led to government shutdowns. The 80-year-old president, who's expected to announce soon whether he will seek re-election in 2024, said Monday that he was ready to work with Republicans. How do you work with a party that intends to shut down the government as their first elective act?
Well, that's the key point. I mean, when your entire party ideology is predicated on the government doesn't work, we should privatize everything, and you're the ones elected into government, thus making it not work purposely, it makes a pretty compelling argument for their privatization of everything, right? And people who are just not well-versed with, I mean, political literacy in this country is non-existent, right? I am slightly removed from high school now. It's been about 10 years, but I had one poli-sci class. It was an elective, and I absolutely loved it. But again, that's not mandated, and that was senior year, second semester. There's not a lot of people who are taking a elected course senior year, second semester, and putting the time and effort that they would put into, you know, an AP calculus course or something, right? We just don't teach our students how to read the system. And it creates a lot of people who see government failing them time and time again and then think to themselves, oh, maybe privatization is the key. And then you have these clowns who are literally willing to put the livelihood of hundreds of millions of Americans on the line just to push their unpopular ideology.
First and foremost, William Walter, my fine co-devil from our Wisconsin Revolution. You talk about being 10 years from high school. Man, I got sweaters older than you.
You probably do. Yeah.
I may. Some old Cliff Huxtable sweaters back in the back of the closet somewhere. William, as we take this break, and we'll come back here in just a minute, we would like to hear from the audience today. But here's the question. As just referenced there, it's time for Joe Biden to make a decision. Tell us, is he going to run for re-election? Typically, you would make that decision. You'd make a public announcement as an incumbent president roughly by the time you make your State of the Union address. And that is scheduled for February 7th. We're going to play it live right here across the Civic Media Network. We'll commit the resources, but it'll either be his swan song, his announcement that he is the lame duck and he's going to clear the field and allow some young star to upcome for the Democratic Party, or probably, I think it's more likely, he'll announce he's running for re-election.
He's got to run again. Who else are they going to run?
Oh, I got lots of alternatives.
I mean, have you seen the polling numbers?
On Biden or?
The field. Let's say the field, if Biden were to not run. That incumbency bonus, oh, it is so valuable. We saw it with Ron Johnson, too.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll get your opinion. Should Biden run again? Or clear the field, I'll tell you on the other side, but I want to hear from you. 844-96-PURDY.
But so what? These guys are the fiscally, you know, they're fiscally demented, I think. They don't quite get it.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Daytona Beach, Florida, police say an elderly woman shot her 77-year-old terminally ill husband at his request inside of a hospital, then barricaded herself in a room. Daytona Police Chief Jakari Young calling the evacuation of nearby patients, quote, a logistical nightmare.
Pretty much all the patients on that floor are on ventilators. So they don't have room. They didn't have the room to evacuate that entire floor. So they evacuated the rooms where it was most important to get them out of the way.
3.5 hours later, the woman was taken into custody. While visiting Senegal, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying she expects Congress to eventually reach a bipartisan solution to raise the debt ceiling. She said demands by House Republicans for spending cuts in return for backing the increase are, quote, irresponsible. 5 Memphis police officers have been fired amid an ongoing probe into the death of Tyre Nichols, who died after he was arrested and hospitalized. This is ABC News.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michaels trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michaels Corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour, rolling through with your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Got William Walter, co-Devlin for me, all the way from here to you home safe for at least 6 o'clock, whatever comes first. Chris, give me just a second. I'm going to get to you first here on the show today. Chris from Sun Prairie, our old friend. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'm good. I'm a big no on replacing Biden. I really think that incumbency does matter. I think he got us through a lot of the pandemic. I think people won't forget that. I think the forgiveness of the student loans goes pretty far. And I think that he is trying to get some good legislation for climate and workers and the infrastructure package. All of that stuff matters. And I don't know why we would not want to keep going with him, because he's actually been working on his promises.
Chris, here's what I would say. he will soon be very politically damaged by the classified documents that were at his house and also at apparently the think tank, and the fact that the Republican House, the Jim Jordan, the Benghazi 2.0 is just coming down the pike. 2 years from now, Joe Biden will be a diminished candidate in many ways just due to the negative press, the drumbeat over and over and over again, Chris. Much like Donald Trump was an incumbent, but he was a damaged incumbent. I'm telling you, Joe Biden is going to be a very damaged incumbent 2 years from now.
You think, Crudy, though?
Well, you know, maybe,
go ahead,
people are getting more savvy. Maybe people are getting more savvy than that, you know? Maybe people are sick of the press telling us what to think.
Well, I think, too, Biden has a long history of, you know, he's been in the Senate for, what, 40, 50 years at this point? If he is already a damaged candidate in the sense that there are the 94 crime bills, there's the credit card Joe nicknames, racial jungle Joe. Like, there are a lot of clips and things he has done and said in the past that I think he already was damaged in that sense, and he still won. So I got to go with Chris here that incumbency bonus, you cannot understate how important it is to already have. I am in office. I can continue what I'm doing. If your life has been improved, if you are doing better than you were in 2016 to 2020, stick with me and we'll keep working on it.
Chris, I know you have historically been a Bernie Sanders supporter, and you and I talked recently, and you and I are both supportive of the policies put forth and the successes legislatively of Joe Biden. I told you, I think McConnell's slipping. So five major bipartisan pieces of legislation, about seven overall. And Chris, my greatest fear is the average American person couldn't tell you a single one of them.
Well, that's why we have to educate people. I mean, that's our job. That's why you're doing what you're doing with your radio stations, because we're going to let people know what's going on. But I think people are getting a little bit more savvy about it. I really do. I do want to, can I mention something that I think would be effective for people to do
sure.
right now?
We're talking on the radio. Now's your time, Chris.
Well, Russ Feingold had put out an article, and he had asked people to write to their senators and to ask them to support efforts to have the Senate rules changed. And we could get in touch with Chuck Schumer and get in touch with our senators and ask them to change a couple of Senate rules. And these rules would be changed. And with their changing, we could appoint federal judges. There's like 300 federal judges just sitting there waiting to be appointed. And we could do this, and we don't need the Republicans to help us at all. And this would help to even out the court from all those Trump appointees that were pushed through. And it's just something that could be done right away. And nobody could hold them up at all. And so there's an article out there by Russ Feingold, and I can give it to you, and you can link it to your page. But I really suggest that people look for the article by Russ and ask for these three rules to be enacted.
Well, Chris, it would certainly be worth a Google. If you share it with me, I will share it on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page on Facebook, of course. My only question about guys like Joe Biden, and Joe Biden was a watered down version of a real progressive. The actual policies I wanted were more like Bernie Sanders, and Joe didn't really have coattails, and therefore Joe really hasn't been able to deliver a full-throated legislative agenda. I mean, we all know he would have done more, but Manchin and Sinema prevented him from doing more. Well, of course, he didn't have a bigger margin of victory because he's a moderate, and a lot of progressives weren't excited.
Are you saying run it back, Bernard 3.0, Mike? That's what I think I'm hearing.
I will tell you, I think Bernie was hurt by the heart condition a little bit, and I had seen Bernie in Cedar Rapids looking awfully red during the summer, and I wondered, you know, is Bernie, I'd never seen Bernie suffer from the labors of campaigning all day long, from being on his feet, and he had a red face, and he was cooking in the sun, and I had a red badger hat, and I'm thinking, Bernie, your face is redder than my hat.
Yeah.
And less than a week later, we found out he had a cardiac episode. Well, I think it hurt his candidacy in 2020. I mean, it didn't propel him, and I certainly think if you look at the stroke that John Fetterman had during the elective campaign, he backed into a victory. He didn't cruise to a victory.
Fetterman also got to go up against arguably the worst candidate in the nation.
Sure.
Certainly helps.
Well, Joe Biden got to go up against the worst candidate ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had seen the destructive powers of Donald Trump 4 years. All the people that said, hell, you know, how bad could it be? It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And we saw that demonstrated. And Joe Biden beat him by the skin of his teeth in a coin flip in the U.S. Senate. And about, 12 congressional seats. And Nancy Pelosi, she shepherded him. She was great. Chuck Schumer, adequate. The legislation, not progressive, not full-throated. And in fact, left Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin able to make the legitimate claim, Democrats really don't deliver for you any more than Republicans do. And what was delivered, nobody told you about. All they did is they left you wanting more. If it wasn't for the veto of Sinema and Manchin, we could have had what we really wanted. So what we did get, no one even bragged about. All they told you is we should have gotten more.
Or Republicans used what was good accomplishments from Biden and flipped it on its head. You know, he's giving all these lazy millennials student debt relief because they all want to work as baristas and don't want to get a real job.
And that, of course, hadn't even come to fruition because it's all jammed up by GOP, attorney
GOP
generals in the courts. So the stuff he could have done, he tried to deliver on behalf of millennials. I like to see him deliver national marijuana legalization. I don't think he's there yet. You want to deliver millennials? Do that, Joe. That's your reelective campaign.
It honestly makes me angry that this has not been done yet. It's so free. So such free political capital to do something that's universally positive. I believe it's if you add the percentages of people who want full legalization and medical legalization together, it's almost 80%. So 8 out of 10 people want some form of legalized cannabis. And because it's so popular, maybe that's why nothing's getting done about it.
Well, I tell you what, I think at least 2/3 of people want the codification of Roe v. Wade, a legislative solution, which you're sure as hell not going to get when Republicans, through their minority rule, can filibuster and block this. And you can say, well, you know, it should be on each state. Well, here in the state of Wisconsin, I would say we are not deep red. We're not supposed to be Mississippi here. But we're living under the governance of a minority. It's minority dictating to the majority policies that don't make any sense. And then they use these, and we talked about it to start the show. Here in the state of Wisconsin, they've got some cynical, non-binding referendums they're going to throw on the spring ballot. Because the other part is the courts, control of the courts. And here in the state of Wisconsin, nothing changes if all the gerrymandered seats give Republicans 2/3 majorities, regardless of the outcome of the election.
It was talked about at the WISC Politics Forum. It's grotesque that right now we have representatives choosing their voters rather than voters choosing their representatives. It's antithetical to everything that a democracy is supposed to represent, yet that's the state of Wisconsin politics.
That absolutely is. So we talked about, you know, is it the most important election in 20 years? I don't know. But it's for the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Here we have a spring election, and the outcome will determine whether or not the most partisan gerrymander in America continues to take root for another decade.
So perhaps not the previous 20 years, but certainly the next 2 decades. You could make the argument that this is the most.
Well, I would say since 2011, since the actual gerrymander, it was mathematically, it was the most partisan gerrymander, I believe, in our nation's history. And the least change ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court by a 4-3 said bake that cake for another decade, unless a new case comes before the court. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your participation is always welcome here. 844-967-2789. I guess the broader case, William Walter, my fine co-devil for the rest of the hour. I guess my case, William, is Dems make the safe choice. They chose to clear the primary field here in the state of Wisconsin. And for what motivated each individual candidate, I couldn't tell you. But the result was you left the Democratic electorate wanting for choices. And I feel
that's
like
the key. That's the key that nobody talks about right there. Is so, again, the Democrats wanted to have this united front. I understand that. I get it. Even if the argument, even if every candidate that dropped out came out and said, like, look, we saw polling numbers, we knew what was going to happen. We knew we weren't going to win. This was Mandela's race. So we dropped out to give him, you know, more time and less he wouldn't have to focus on the primary itself. He could jump right into the general. But again, it does not matter what the point was. It does not matter what the reasoning that the Democrats used was. What matters is how the voters see it. And to a lot of voters, they saw it as the party is clearing the field for their chosen candidate. That will never fly. You look at my example that I always use when I'm having this conversation is grocery stores. You have 50 different types of cereal, right? People are walking through the aisles. They're picking and choosing, or, you know, their kids are like, ooh, do I want the one with the big tiger on it, or do I want the one with the toucan, or do I want Count Chocula? The illusion of choice makes them feel like they're participating in the system, even if the choice doesn't really impact anything at the end of the day.
So what, mom's going to still force feed you Cheerios? You're still going to get your Joe Biden nose? No.
All 50 of these different cereal brands are owned by the same company. It's General Mills or Kellogg, right? Like these handful of corporations own every single one of these brands, but they release all these different brands so that when you're walking through the aisle, you can be like, boy, there is nothing like American capitalism. Look at all these beautiful different cereal choices we have. Oh, it's so wonderful to live in America. I have such freedom of choice. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which cereal you buy. The money is going to the same place. And I think that voters look at primaries in a very similar vein. Even if everybody knows that Mandela's going to win, supporters of Godlewski, supporters of Lazary, supporters of Tom Nelson want to feel like their voice is being heard or at least considered, so that you can see what the end results were. You can see how many people agreed with me. You can see what the rest of Wisconsinites believe. But why do you have this primary system in place if not to choose the candidate? They earn their way into the general by winning the primary. And I'm not trying to criticize any of the candidates themselves, because from their perspective, again, if you knew you were going to lose, why would you waste more money? Why would you keep running this campaign that's not going to win instead of presenting that united front? The point I simply want to make is it doesn't matter what the reasoning behind the united front or what everybody dropping out was. What matters is how the voters understand it, because they're the ones that are going to be coming into the polls, and they're the ones whose opinion matters. You know, we all have one voice, one person, one voice. Your voice is your vote, and you need to be heard every cycle. And if you're not being heard, if you're not having the opportunity to choose which candidate you want, then what's the point of even voting? It leads into the apathy. We've been talking about it all episode, why so many American voters are apathetic. There you go. There's another reason why.
Well, I very much felt that way about the presidential race. And that's what was so frustrating about the 2020 cycle. It's not that I have any great issue with Joe Biden. I like a lot of his legislative achievements, although I think they're soon to get buried in subcommittee hearings on Hunter Biden and his laptop from hell. And of course, Joe Biden's got his own drama now with the classified documents. I think he will be damaged goods 2 years from now. I think in a different way than, you know, some of the prior statements he might have made in his senatorial career. This is different. This is his governance. Come back. Jim, you're next on the phones. If you're patient, be after Jim. 844-967-2789.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with lows around 24. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow. Highs level off around 29. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 19. A blend of clouds and sun. Monday, clouds on the increase. By Tuesday, highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. Your voice matters here. 844-967-2789. My little buddy Dominic returns tomorrow, as does Tyler Wahl for the Badgers, man. They've been missing Tyler much more so than I've been missing Dom, because I got a fine code devil. You're a hell of a lot better in the post than Dom ever was. He is William Walter. William, thanks for coming around today, and thank you all for joining us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Jim from Appleton. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Kirby?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. I traveled across the state and doing a little radio show, hanging out with William, having a good time. Now you're joining us. I hope you advance the conversation. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to retrace a little bit, going back to the Supreme Court justice race.
Yes, sir.
From what I've read and heard and seen of Everett Mitchell, he is an eminently qualified candidate for the Supreme Court.
I agree.
I have a question for him. Though he's not here, I have a question for him. When the Republicans come out with their veiled racist attacks, what is his response going to be? Because I just went through an election cycle with an eminently qualified Mandela Barnes running for Senate. I voted for Mandela, but they suppressed the vote enough that he lost. And I don't want that to happen again in the Supreme Court.
Well, I would say the unfortunately, Jim, for Everett, he's had to respond to the Daniel Bice article, the allegation against him. Apparently, some child custody stuff has snuck into the public record. And according to Everett Mitchell, and I have questioned him about this, he thinks probably his progressive opponent, although those that know Judge Janet Protasiewicz assure me she didn't bless it, but, you know, it's a big campaign. But anyways, Jim, if he can't survive this, the rest of it will become irrelevant. So the question is if someone makes an allegation, the judge doesn't uphold it, there's no criminal charges, the man that's been accused denies it, and the woman that made the prior accusation says it's irrelevant, it was a personal thing, we're going through a lot in our family. Jim, my fear is most people didn't read past the headline. Most people didn't take the time to judge the man by the entirety of his character. And I wonder, in a low turnout spring primary, if this will be enough to cast a pale upon his campaign. I have no idea, Jim. I hope it's not. I really like this guy. Every time I've met him, he seems like a man of character to me.
I would agree with you, and I hope it's not also. And I did read through it all, and it sounds like so much dribble that a right-wing media source would put out just to disparage him. I have a feeling that they think they can beat Janet easier than they can beat him, or they wouldn't have done it.
I'm not sure. The thought is, first you got to win the primary, right? If the Republicans had this information, they wouldn't have leaked it in the primary. I don't think that they see the Protasiewicz, pronounced like witch, Protasiewicz, is, if anything, is probably the party choice.
Have you seen money, Kroot? Judge Janet has like $900,000 in her campaign account. Everett Mitchell has like $30,000, I believe. Wisconsin right now, some of these right-leaning publications have already been attacking Janet. So I'm with you completely. I think the Republicans would have saved this for the general.
Jim, I think if it came from anywhere, it was either a Democratic donor or someone that this information came upon, and they were so concerned that it would come out in the general, they wanted to get this information out there now. I've heard it suggested it wasn't
Mandela.
What's that?
Which should have happened with Mandela during the primary.
Well, Jim,
wouldn't have been able to flog him so bad with his taxes.
Well, Jim, here, and I appreciate you listening, Jim, and participating. I've taken so much issue that the Democrats never challenge their opponent's weaknesses, at least here in the state of Wisconsin in the primary. It's a big contest of nice. And I don't know if all you're going to do is say, I'm a nice guy and she's a nice person and they're nice people, then why run against them? Because whoever has the most name recognition on day one is going to win the race. And that's the way it's come to fruition in multiple different races here in the state of Wisconsin. Whoever had the most clout on day one won the primary. What do you know? Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor, had the most clout, won the primary. No one ever challenged him. None of these challenges came from his primary opponents. If you thought that he was vulnerable on these issues, challenge him during the primary. There are plenty of debate and candidate forums and opportunities to challenge him in the primary. Now, by that logic, if this is going to come out about Everett Mitchell, if this is disqualifying, and I don't think it should be, but if you do, better to find out in the primary. But strategically, Jim, logic would dictate this didn't come from the Republican side. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak a few more in if there's time. Jake from Eureka, man. How you doing, Jake?
Hey, Crudy, I just got to say a word about that conservative compulsive liar from New York State, Congressman George Santos, you know, who should resign, but he doesn't want to. And, you know, I'm okay with Santos not resigning. He can remain as an albatross around the Republican Party's neck, just like Lauren Boebert. I know she almost lost her election, but I actually thought it was a good thing overall that Boebert from Colorado remained in office, because now everybody, you know, knows what fascist fools the Republican Party really is. I mean, hell, they made Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. Need I say more?
Well, I think you've said it all, Jake. Very, very thoughtful. Thinking of our friends, we played out in Eureka, California for like 5 years, and Northern California has been through a lot, weather-wise, earthquake-wise. So anyways, man, thinking about you guys in Northern California, you know we got a lot of friends there. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show on this MLK Day. Thank you to William Walter from Our Wisconsin Revolution. William, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Crudy. It's always a party.
Well, we'll find a bigger role for you. You're going to be a more consistent contributor around here. We're going to make it happen. I know Ebone's a big fan. Ebone, thank you for what you do. Thank you all for listening. As mentioned, my little buddy Dominic, probably going to return with, you know, some stories. He was in New York, and I strongly suspect it's because New York just opened up its first legal marijuana dispensary.
Why can't that be us?
Why indeed. Thank you all for listening. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. And then Mark Thompson, the Paul Revere Show. That's the guy that Bob Spindell called a partisan. Listen for yourself. 7 o'clock across the Civic Media Network. Keep it locked right here. Thank you, William. Thank you, Ebone. Thank you all. Have a great night.
It's never been done before. So we need planning, a large crew.
It's
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.